Good morning. Good morning. You may have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome again to Summers at Genesis Church. And welcome to our summer series. We're working through on Sunday mornings the Ten Commandments. And we've called this series First and Free. So if you're here today, you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to two places this morning. The first is in Exodus chapter 20. And the second is in Mark chapter 6. That's Exodus 20, Mark chapter 6. Exodus is in the Old Testament. Mark is in the New Testament. If you have a hard time finding it, you can look in the table of contents, or you can just lean over and ask someone who is around you. It is so good to see everyone this morning. We're going to be working through the fifth commandment. We have been working through this series. Next week, we will pick back up on the fourth commandment. But the fifth commandment is all about honor, all about honor. And I'm so grateful for all of you fathers in the room. I know we've already mentioned it, but I just simply want to say it again. As the person who gets the privilege of serving as our pastor here at Genesis Church, I just want to say I honor you. I hope today you feel loved. I hope today you feel appreciated. I hope you feel respected and cherished and treasured, not just in this church and not just in your home, but also in this community. So church family, one more time, would you just please give an over-the-top honor to all of our fathers and father figures in our life today? Would we just say thank you for them? Now, we're working through this series. We come to the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is all about honor. I'm curious this morning. I want to take you back to middle school or high school, and I'm curious if you remember, by any chance, making the honor roll. Or maybe you're here today and you're a proud parent of an honor roll student. Just curious, by a show of hands, did you make the honor roll or were you a parent of an honor roll student? Okay, a few of us in the room. When we would go on trips as a family, in front of us, when we were driving many times because you're stopped in traffic, you would see the bumper sticker in front that said, "I am the proud parent of an honor roll student." That was the bumper sticker you saw in front of us. It was never on our car. And that is because if there was a bumper sticker on our car, it would probably say, "C's still get degrees." That's probably what would be on the bumper sticker of my parents' car. We're talking about honor, and here's what I am convinced and convicted of, that life is full of unique challenges and unique opportunities. And if you will, God kind of enrolls us into the university of life, and we get these opportunities to show honor. We get these opportunities to display honor. It's like an honor test, or we can kind of walk away without honoring. We can kind of step away, if you will, from the honor test. And here's what I want to keep coming back to, and I'm going to do this over and over throughout this message this morning. I really believe this is a biblical principle. Where there is a breakthrough of honor, there tends to be a breakthrough of blessing. And wherever there is a breakdown of honor, don't be surprised that there's a breakdown of blessing. Now we come to the fifth commandment. I don't know what it looks like in your house. I can just say for my house, we have verses that we memorize. And maybe even right now you're like memorizing a verse personally. Or maybe in your household, you have a couple verses that you're memorizing. Way to go. In our house, when it comes to this specific verse, our daughter and our son will be memorizing this singular verse until they're 18 years old. We just have one verse in the Kennedy household. Here is the verse. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." What a short verse. What a straightforward verse. What a bold verse. And I would add, what a liberating verse. You know, if you're new here, you're kind of checking things out. We've been in this series, and the backdrop is the people of God have found themselves in slavery, bondage, and captivity to the Egyptians. And God is a good God, and he's faithful even when we're faithless. And so he sets the people free in Egypt. But it's one thing to be set free. It's another thing to live free. And so they are released in freedom, and they're on this journey toward this new and promised land. But they haven't arrived yet. And in the desert on Mount Sinai, God uses an ordinary man with an extraordinary mission, Moses, receives these Ten Commandments from God and gives them to the people. You may look at these and you may have this tendency. Maybe you're here today and this is how you feel. God is after limiting me. I want to continue to remind us, could it be that we serve a heavenly Father who is a good God, who created us, who loves us, and knows what's best for our life? Could this not just be 10 decisions toward worship, but also 10 soul care choices? Could this actually be not to limit us, but to liberate us? And so I want to come back to this again, Exodus chapter 20, and I actually want to ask you, if you will, please, this morning, will you just say this verse out loud with me today? Exodus 20, verse 12, here we go. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. What a very, very intriguing concept that is odd to our modern day ears. If you don't believe me, when's the last time you picked up a book on how to honor your father and your mother? When's the last time you listened to a song that was written about honoring your father and your mother? When's the last time you spent money sitting in a movie and watched a highly produced movie inspiring you to honor your father and your mother? We live in a culture that does not elevate honor. We elevate freedom. And we elevate our fierce independency. We elevate our creativity. We elevate our convenience and our relationships over covenantal relationships. That's what we elevate. And here it starts, and it says, honor your father. It begins there. And from a biblical perspective, it kind of is initiated there. There's a privilege and there's a weightiness, there's a responsibility, and there's a joy when it comes to being a father. Now, I think this is very interesting because we have to remember this isn't to say that moms and dads do not have powerful influence together. How many of you have seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? One of my favorite movies of all time. There's this moment where the daughter comes and she collapses in her mom's arms. She's probably 12 or 13. Her dad will not let her go to the park and play with the friends. And so she comes and she says, Dad is the head of our household, and I value him and all of those things. But you know, Mom, I just want to go. You know those friends, and I'm just heartbroken about it, and I'm paraphrasing, but the mom looks at her daughter and says, you are right. Your dad is the head of the household. You should respect him and you should honor him, but you must never forget your mom. Your mom is the neck. And the neck turns the head whichever direction that she wants to. I'll be right back. It is this picture, if you will, of this mutual influence. How many of you know that to be true? There is this weightiness and responsibility and joy and privilege on being a father. And I'm not going to diminish that in any way, shape, or form. Not in any way. We have a crisis in our country, and I would argue the crisis in our country is very much so connected to fatherhood. We have a lot of absentee fathers. And maybe you're here today, and this is even painful because you didn't really grow up with a father in your life. Or if the father who was in your life was present, you kind of wish he wasn't. When it comes to fathers in our life, we should know that our first imagery of what we think of God is connected to what we think of our father. I've been a pastor for over 20 years, marriage and family counselor. I've sat across the table so many times with people who are going through broken things. Not one time. And it's a limited experience, but not one time has someone said, I have this deep mom wound, and I just want to tell you about how my mother has so impacted my life. That doesn't mean that mothers do not do damage to the souls of their children, so that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the consistency for me in my limited experience has been, let me tell you about my father wound. Let me tell you about the brokenness that started when it comes to my father or lack thereof my father. Fathers have incredible influence. I'm so grateful to have my dad here with me today. This is the first time I've had the opportunity and privilege to have a Father's Day service with my dad. I love you so much, Dad. I've reflected a lot on our relationship. You know, any father-son relationship, nothing's perfect. There used to be times when I'd be frustrated because it would be a desire that maybe I wanted from my dad, and my dad wasn't able to meet that. But thankfully, he's allowed me to grow and to become more of a man. And I've started to realize that what used to be frustrations, now I turn into celebration. And here's what I mean by that. We all have this tendency to take an individual, including our fathers, and to elevate them to a place where we look to them not just as being good, but to being God. And we look to them for our worth, and we look to them for our sense of purpose. And I'm so grateful now, because when our earthly fathers let us down, it is actually a reminder that they're not the hero of the story. Instead, Jesus is the hero. It's actually a reminder and celebration to me. You will not find an earthly father who can keep all of his promises. I promise you that. You will not find an earthly father who says, I will always be with you. They cannot always be with you. You will not find an earthly father who says, I can do the impossible in your life, because they cannot do the impossible in your life. But we have a heavenly father. We have a heavenly father who will never leave us nor forsake us. We have a heavenly father who can do more than we can ask or imagine. We have a heavenly father. We have a heavenly father who will always keep his promises. And so when it comes to the brokenness of fatherhood, we can look at that and we can kind of cringe, or we can start celebrating that they are human and they need grace just like you and just like me. Starts with fathers, but it doesn't end there. It moves on and says, honor your father and your mother. Again, this may seem like, yeah, that makes sense, but in ancient times, this is very rare. You wouldn't include inside of a statement like that the mom. It just was the kind of culture of the day. This is in many ways God's way of saying when it comes to mothers and when it comes to fathers, they're equal in the proverbial org chart. You need to honor them both extravagantly and generously as children. How important is honor to God? I want you to go over to Mark chapter 6 this morning. This blew me away. It blew me away. I really do believe this is one of the most important perspectives we get in the life of Jesus and what Jesus values. Jesus is returning to his hometown. It's not the place of his birth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It's the place that he grew up. Nazareth itself is a small rural town, less than 1,000 people in Jesus' day. Jesus would have played in the streets. His brothers and sisters would have eaten together there. Maybe he would have went to work with his dad in the local city of Sepphoris. He had all of his experiences there, but Jesus has left there. And for a year he's been traveling and he's proclaiming the gospel, the good news of what he has come to do and come to bring. And he's been providing these miracles to people. And now he returns. He returns to his hometown. We enter in verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, if you're curious about the Sabbath, make sure you come next week. We're going to talk about the Sabbath further. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that he's been given to him? What are the remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? I love this picture. Don't forget, Jesus had brothers and sisters. And the next time you go, ah, Jesus, I wish you understood the dynamics of brothers and sisters. He does. And they took offense at him. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Underline this. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. This is the first time Jesus uses the word honor. And so I want to define honor in sweeping terms. The word honor simply means to value, respect, highly esteem, treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. When we dishonor, we minimize something's value and we treat it as just common. So here's kind of a secret. A secret is, and maybe you've already found this to be true, if you want to ruin a friendship, all you need to do is minimize the person. Treat them as nothing more than common. If you're in a marriage and you want a horrible marriage, all you need to do with your husband or your wife is simply minimize them and treat them as nothing more than just common. If you want a lifeless relationship with God, all you need to do is simply minimize God. Treat God as just common. 100% money-back guarantee, that's a fast-track plan toward horrible relationships. Why is that the case? I want to keep coming back to this principle that I would argue is a biblical principle. Wherever there's a breakthrough of honor, there is a breakthrough of blessing. And wherever there's a breakdown of honor, there is a breakdown of blessing. And the quality of our relationships are deeply connected to the quantity of our honor. The quality of our relationships are connected to the quantity of our honor. And you may be thinking, what if they don't deserve it? I've got some people in my life, when even I think about in the family setting, what if they don't deserve it? You don't know, and you're right, I don't. Honor's different than respect. Respect is earned, honor is given. Honor is not based on someone's performance. Honor is based on someone's worth. And by the way, worth is not determined by you, and it's not determined by me. It's actually determined by God. There is not a human being that has not been created with dignity and worth. And so we can honor people above us and below us. We can honor people to our left and our right, our front and our back. Honor can be given freely because it's based upon someone's worth. I was thinking about this. What would be the way we would dishonor God the most? How would you dishonor God the most significant way? I think we dishonor God the most whenever we minimize Jesus. I want you to look back in Mark chapter 6, verse 2. Where did this man get these things, they asked? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense to him. Are you kidding me? This is Jesus. Didn't Jesus make our furniture? Didn't we have Jesus over our house and we had dinner together? And remember, he was telling that one joke and we were laughing? This is Jesus. Don't you remember when we were sitting in the playground, and he was like seven. And what happens for this group of people, I think oftentimes can happen for all of us. We get really, really familiar with Jesus, and we don't even mean to, but oftentimes we minimize the rightful place of who Jesus is. So look what happens. Verse 5. I can't get around this. I'm just going to lay it out there and let it sit. He could not do any miracles here except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed. He was amazed at their lack of faith. He didn't say lack of honor, and yet we know it was connected to honor. Honor and faith are deeply connected together. This is only one of two times that Jesus was amazed. The second time Jesus was amazed was his experience with a centurion. I know you're in Mark, but I'd like to ask you to stay in Mark. We'll come back there. I'd like you to move just to your left over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus has this encounter with a guy who understands what it means to be in authority. He's in a leadership position. He's in a military role. And he's coming to Jesus because he has a servant, and the servant is suffering, and he wants to see Jesus bring healing to this servant. And so we pick up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 7. Jesus said to him, meaning the centurion, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Notice the humility. "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does that." You know, I said, if you want to figure out how you would dishonor God, all you need to do is minimize Jesus. The reverse is true. You really want to honor God, then we magnify or maximize the value and the personhood of Jesus. This blows me away. He says, you don't even have to come. If you just say the word, I understand authority, it will be done. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, here it is, second time, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Really, Jesus? You've been on this journey, you haven't found anyone with such great faith? And Jesus says, when it comes to being blown away, when it comes to being amazed, it's connected to the way this person honors and has faith. So what happens, verse 13? Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I'm convinced God is waiting for honor and faith to flow in our churches. I'm convinced that God longs and is waiting for honor to flow and faith to flow in our communities. But I'm also convinced that it starts in the home. If a wife disrespects and dishonors her husband in front of her children, what do you think the children will do? It will be no surprise that you will find children who do not honor their father. The reverse is true. If a husband disrespects and dishonors his wife in front of his children, rather than serve her, cherish her, and treasure her, then it will not be a surprise that there will be children who dishonor their mom. Notice here, there is not an emphasis on modeling, although that's implied. The emphasis is actually on instructing your children. Honor your father and your mother. You may be a parent and, like me, feel overwhelmed. What do I invest in my children? God's word would say, invest in your children that they learn and cultivate honor toward you. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land the Lord has given you. Remember, they are set free and they're learning to live free. And the land that they're going to is the land of Canaan. This is the place that they will eventually end up. And God's saying, if you will learn to honor your father and your mother, you're also going to learn what it means to worship well. Because as you honor your father and your mother, you are actually honoring me. This is something that really, really is connecting with me. We ask the question so often, what's best for me? And what is best for those around me? I'm learning to ask what I think is a better and more biblical question, and that is this. What does it look like to glorify God in the greatest way? Not what's best for me, not even what's best for those around me, but what would it look like in this situation, in this moment, to position my life to bring God glory? That I am after God's glory. And there's a wonderful phrase I keep coming back to, and I didn't come up with it. When God is most glorified in us, we are most satisfied in him. And when we are most satisfied in him, God is most glorified in us. This beautiful picture that the first and foremost is after God's glory, and then from there, it actually becomes about our good because we have a heavenly Father who knows what's best for us. What will it look like to glorify God? I think this is mind-blowing to me because it's a principle, not necessarily a promise, but it says it will go well for you in your life. You're going to have a better life. Is that hard to believe? How many of you here have lost sleep because of angst relationships with your parents or with your children? How many of you have literally went to bed at night just overwhelmed with the pain involved from the distressed relationship with your parents or your children? Where there is a breakdown of honor, there will be a breakdown of blessing. Where there is a breakthrough of honor, there is a breakthrough of blessing. Recently, I heard a story about a grandfather who'd been married for 60 years, and his grandson had been married for 2 months. They were sitting down having a conversation. The grandson leaned over after 2 months of marriage and said, Grandfather, you've been married for 60 years. That just blows my mind. I got a question for you. I'm curious. Because that's a long time to be with the same person. Do you still love her? 60 years, a long time. Aren't you getting bored? He responded by saying, I love her with all my heart. Grandfather was in his late 70s. He told his grandson this. He said, you know, when I was about your age, I was married, but I was a boy. I didn't act like a man, and your grandfather suffered because of that. One day, God convicted me, and I approached her, and I asked her, will you tell me what are your secret private prayers for my life? And she said, I can't do that. I went back to her, and I begged, will you tell me the secret, quiet, private prayers that you pray for me? And she did. He said, and it changed me. It broke me. It taught me what I needed to do to love this woman well for the rest of my life. And so that's what I'm doing. Do you think by any chance that's going to impact that grandson's life? Absolutely it will. So how can we pass the honor test? We're talking about honor your father and your mother. How can we pass the honor test? I want to take a moment and answer this question in a practical sense. What does it look like if you're a parent and you want to pass the honor test with your children? And I think this applies very well for your children when it comes to honoring your parents. But let me just share with you three thoughts. When it comes to, as a parent, honoring your children, just a few thoughts. First is this, to view your child as a blessing. So many times, it's easy, especially in our culture, to look at children as a burden. I saw a book cover recently that said, A Child-Free Life, and loving it. And I understand that. That doesn't mean everyone needs to have children. But I think there's a recognition that children are actually a gift from God. They are a blessing. Psalm 127, verse 3 just says this, children are a blessing. Number two, be responsible and available. Be responsible and available. In the Old Testament, just a quick snapshot in the life of someone named Job, and this is what happens. Job 1, verse 5. Maybe my kids have sinned, he says before God. I offer a sacrifice and confess their sins for the Lord. You may say, wait a minute, what are you doing? Job's actually taking responsibility for his family. Job is saying, maybe it's something to do with my kids. I'm not delegating that to a church. I'm not delegating that to a community center. No, I'm going to take responsibility when it comes to my children. Because God gave them to me, and they're a gift. There's a weighty sense of responsibility. In the same way, there's a sense of availability. And I'll never forget, I don't know if my dad remembers this, my daughter was just born. We were in San Diego driving around. I'm on Mira Mesa Boulevard. I remember it very vividly. And I said, Dad, if you could do one thing differently, what would you do? And he said, just show up, basically. Just be there. Now, he was there, but I think the emphasis and the reality of one of the most powerful things you can give your children is just your presence. The best availability, best ability is availability. Third thought, this is one that's hitting home for me. Bless your child every chance you get. Number 6, verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses. I want you to see this train here. Take it out of the context. If you've been a part of a church and someone is giving you a benediction, hold that thought for a moment. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There is this sense where Moses is telling Aaron, make sure that you help the people know what it means to bless. I have been a part of too many situations where I've realized that a lot of people, maybe you're here today, you just long inside. You made decisions based on a longing to be blessed by your parents. And your father, your mother, they didn't know this, but they never pulled you aside and they never looked at you and they just said, I bless you into the unknown. I free you. I release you. I bless you. And I just want to say, we reverse these for a moment. What does it mean as a child to honor your parents? First off, recognize they're a gift. They're a blessing. Be responsible and available to them and bless them as well. If you're a parent here and your child's around, I could not encourage you more especially an adult child. You get eye to eye with them and you just say, I bless you, child, into the unknown. Whatever God has for you, I bless you. Many of us struggle so much with our father wounds. Came across a quote this past week that was so good for me. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, when a man is 40, he gets his face, which I thought was very intriguing. What he was saying is you get like 40 years to kind of grovel, to kind of complain, to kind of work through everything that has to do with your background and your family-related issues. That doesn't mean you don't continue on that, but at some point in time, it's time to take ownership toward the next stage of your life. And there's a sense where that's God's invitation for us. And so what happens when we fail? What happens when we make mistakes? What happens when we fall short? Well, we find that we have a good, loving, heavenly Father, and His Son is enough for us. Honor your father and your mother. Is it any surprise? Is it any surprise? I'll invite the worship team to come up. That when Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, He begins this way. Whenever you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. The alignment. Yes, you may have had a father in your life who let you down. Maybe they broke promises. Maybe they tried to do some things and you thought they could do the impossible. You found out they couldn't. Maybe you had a father in your life and you looked to them to always be available and present through everything, but they can't because they're a human being. But we have a heavenly Father. A heavenly Father who loves us, who pursues us. A heavenly Father who is available, who keeps His promises and can do the impossible in our life. As we enter into worship this morning, we get to do a few things. We get to honor our heavenly Father through singing, and we're going to get a chance to do that. I want to pray for you, though. I want to pray over your lives for the fathers in this room. I want to pray a blessing over you, and then I want to pray over us as a church family that we would be fathered by God and that we would receive that well. It's also an opportunity for us as we kind of enter in to be thinking about, God, what does it look like? We're in Sunday, but what does it look like on Monday to honor my father and mother? And maybe they pass, so what does it look like to honor their legacy? And what does that mean for me, if I have children, to honor them well, to honor them well? Will you join me in prayer? God, we are delighted to be here today. We thank you that we get to open our life and open your word. And we pray, God, we pray that in the next few minutes we have, that ultimately we would honor you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as the Heavenly Father. I pray blessings over all the fathers who are here with us, the father figures in our community. I pray that we would be a church receptive to being fathered by you. I pray in this place, in our homes, in our workplaces, there would be a breakthrough of honor and we would see a breakthrough of blessing. We turn our heart and attention to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Church family, we're going to go into a time of worship. And one of the ways here at Genesis Church we worship is through tithes and offerings. If you're a guest here with us, I hope this service will be found as a gift to you. If you call this place home, there's multiple ways to give, from online to in person. And in just a few moments, the team will come. I thank you for your kingdom partnership, to be able to be a light in this community and to be on mission with God in our world. And so, will you stand with me? We're going to move into a time of worship this morning and a time of giving. I thank you in advance for worshiping and for giving today.